The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Good morning. It is great to be with you today. Share God's word with you. So if you have your Bibles, you turn, open them up, find the book of Luke, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 8 today. And in case you kind of didn't pick it up by now, you were sleeping, that we're probably looking at Luke chapter 8, and we're talking about the storm. We're talking about the storm and the disciples and Jesus sleeping in the boat. Before we do that, let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. We thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence today. I thank you for everyone gathered here in person and those gathered online. I thank you that you know our hearts, you know our situation. Nothing surprises you. I thank you for who you are in the midst of the storm. Heavenly Father, today, would we learn to press into you, to grow in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. I don't know if you've been in many situations where you thought you were going to die. If you have been, those are really ingrained or like really burned into your memory. There's a couple situations where, you know, I was trying to think that through today. There's some where, you know, I thought I might die. In other words, I was putting myself in a situation, you know, sometimes it's just getting on a plane, or for me, it was jumping out of a plane, skydiving, where I thought I actually could die. And so it does cause you to think things through a little bit, like how dumb you are and maybe what will happen if you do die. So I've had those situations. I've been in some situations afterwards where it was like, oh, I could have died. I didn't know, but coming out of it, you think, well, I actually could have died. Most of those for me are on when I was on my motorbike and I survived something and like, wow, I could have died. But not many times in my life could I think of times where I've actually been in a situation consciously aware throughout it that I might be dying here. I haven't been in those. Some of you maybe have, some of you maybe are. But here's a story we're going to look at Luke 8 where they were. For me, I only really could think of one that came up pretty quickly in my memory that's very much ingrained in my memory. And my poor mother has to always listen to me when I share about this because she didn't even know how traumatic this event was for me until I preached once and used it as an illustration. When I was 5 years old, I do remember things at 5 years old. Still, at this age, it's hard to believe. I got to tell these stories now or I probably won't remember them soon. But a couple things when you're little, you can remember. I was talking to my wife the other day. There's probably only 4 or 5 memories that I have from like 3 years old to like 4 and 5 years old. I won't tell you all of them. But, you know, one was when I accepted Jesus Christ actually as a kid at 4 years old. I remember where I was. I remember what I said. I remember who asked questions. I remember everything about it. This other one I remember because my mom, when we got up in the morning, she said, today, Sean, you need to get your shot. Now, I was 5 years old, and my brain was pretty limited, and all I could think was, I'm going to get shot. And so I thought, I'm going to die today? I didn't say that because I was 5 and petrified, I think, in the moment when she's like, today, you're going to get your shot. I thought, I didn't know what I did wrong yesterday, but today's a bad day. But I literally remember everything about that day. I remember the morning. I remember getting in the car. I remember going down the road, and she had the audacity to stop at the sand store before I was going to get shot to go shopping for herself. And so I remember the sand store. I remember walking in. I remember where we parked. I remember going in and seeing those round clothing racks where they used to be in a complete circle and finding them to hide into. And I would go in the middle and hold on to the middle of the pipe until she would find me and then bring me out. And then I would try to find somewhere else. And then I remember walking to the clinic. I remember walking in there. I remember just being petrified. She had no idea what was going on. I was very quiet back then, so I didn't say much, honestly. I remember where I was sitting. I remember where the doctor was sitting. I remember where she was sitting. I remember the whole thing. And I was never so relieved just to get a needle. I was like still looking for the gun that was coming out until they finally stamped my arm with a little like iodine pink buddy stamp they used to do back there to make sure it was clean and that was meant you were done. And they said, you're done, you could go home. And I like never worshiped before as a kid, but I remember being so relieved. And here in Luke 8, we're going to read a story where it was a traumatic event like that. It was an event for these disciples where this isn't fake. They really thought they were dying. And three of them wrote it down for us. So in Luke 8, you have one of the accounts, but they're very, very similar because it was a traumatic event. So we're going to read it, Luke 8, starting at verse 22. One day, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and they started out. And as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake and the boat was filling with water. So the waves were coming up over the side and it was getting full and full of water. And they were in real danger. These were fishermen. A lot of them were fishermen by trade. They'd been in a lot of storms in a boat before. This isn't new. This isn't just unnecessary panic. They were convinced this was going to be the end. So the disciples went and they woke him up shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." In fact, Mark records that they shouted at him, "Don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care that we're going to die? We're going to drown right now." Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked them a question. "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and they were also amazed. The word is escalated here, that they were terrified or they were afraid, full of fear in the storm. But when Jesus calmed the storm, they were terrified. It went up a level for them and yet amazed. And they said, "Who is this man? When he gives a command, even the winds and the waves obey him." In Luke chapter 8, from this point forward, there are several stories in a row that Luke records back to back because Jesus was demonstrating to them in this story that he was sovereign, he was in control, he had authority over nature, and anything he said would happen. And then he tells another story that he had authority over the demonic, over the demons, over evil. And when he spoke, evil would flee. And then another story about how even when he would speak to someone who had died, they could come back to life. And he tells this all to get to the climax of chapter 9, which we're not going into, to ask the same question: who do you think I am? So the point here at the end of this story of who is this is purposeful. It is part of the journey the disciples were on, the part of following that they were on. How many of you watching right now, have you gone through the Chosen series at all? The Chosen, have you figured that out yet, how to download or see that? You get your phone or your iPad or whatever device and you download the Chosen app. It's like free. And you can watch series, and it's dramatic biblical events of the disciples following Jesus, really scripturally based, trying to figure out who is this? Who is this? So I want to go through, if you're going through a storm right now, a storm is lots of things. There's all kinds of things that can be storms, right? Storms are trials. They're situations of persecution. They can be situations of sickness. They can be situations where you're facing death or someone has died around you. Oppression, rejection, job loss, abandonment, abuse, natural disasters like we see today in Haiti, disease like COVID, oppression overtaking other people like in Afghanistan. But in each of us, we are going to face storms. It's actually promised in Scripture, you will experience the storms of life. All of us will taste these. All of us will experience these. So I want you, if you feel like, if you can articulate it today, I would like you to do that right now. I want you to think about a situation that you would say is taking you out or is too much to handle or is way too overwhelming. What is that for you? I want you to think about that today as we go through this. And I want you to write down, there's a couple points I'm going to give you through this that I need you to reflect on. And the first thing that you need to understand is this. Storms test us. That's what they do. Storms test us. And God is okay by putting us into situations to be tested. That's okay for him. It's part of our growth process of how we follow Jesus. I want to read you another verse. You need to write this down. If you're going through a tough time, write down 1 Peter 1:7. 1 Peter 1:7. I'm not going to put it on the screen, so you can't cheat today. 1 Peter 1:7. I want you to read this. I want you to think about this. It says, these trials that you will go through, it's assuming you have them, okay? These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as a fire tests and then purifies the gold. Though you need to know that your faith is more precious than gold. So in this process, so when your faith remains strong through these types of trials, through these storms, through these moments where you feel like you're going to be overtaken and destroyed, wiped out, that your hopes and your dreams and your ambitions and all that's going away, in these moments, if your faith remains strong through them, it will bring much praise, glory, and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. What if your trust, your faith in God, or your trust in him is one day the thing that you get to present before Jesus Christ? What if that's the one gift that you can bring? That you get to present how much you were able to grow and trust and have faith in his character, in who he is on that day. And everything that happens to us in this life is part of the process, the part of the refining process to purify us to get to the point where we have something to offer. See, part of when I read this story, it bothers me a bit. It has for years, right? Doesn't it kind of grate you a little bit when you read it? It's like, you know, he puts you in a storm. You're truly going, you think you're going to die for legit reasons, right? Like, you're going to drown. This is not made up. This is a real situation they're in. And Jesus gets up and looks at them and says, so, where is your faith? It's like, doesn't that feel a little bit cruel? Doesn't it feel a little bit cruel? And this is one of the tripping points as we follow Jesus, that Jesus would actually lead us into a place where we can be taken out. But he does. And so the next thing you have to understand about storms is storms can be foreseen and unseen at the same time. And so what we understand is that, of course, Jesus knew the storm was going to come. And it brought him to that place. And yet for the disciples, this was unseen. This was like, they didn't know this was happening. They were just going across the lake on an everyday. And yet Jesus was not unaware. The storms in your life, for you, might have been completely unseen. But the truth is, it was seen. It was seen by your Heavenly Father. There isn't a moment where you're going to get to in a situation where you turn to your Jesus or you turn to your Heavenly Father and he looks at you and goes, well, I didn't see that coming. Well, the Delta variant? Well, man, I was all good with that. He's aware. And you know where he is? He's sleeping in the boat. He's at rest. In our moments where we're at the greatest point of anxiety and fear, Jesus is able to be at peace. And I want you to know that sometimes understanding, and if you truly believe that, doesn't make it easier, does it? Because you want to go wake him up. And you want to yell, don't you care? Your apathy is bothering me a little bit. We are dying here. I am going under. And then he has the audacity to turn around and say to you, well, where's your faith? You're like, is this fun for you? Part of the process of being put in these situations is for us to become more and more aware of a few key things. And it is part of the process for us to question a few things. And anyone that I know that's been put in a situation like this, this actually bothers them a bit. When you have cancer or a loved one having cancer, or you've been in an accident, or you know someone who's been in an accident, all these things, these situations come in, you have to get to this point where you know he knew this and allowed it anyways. So I want us, the next point you have to write down, and it's time for reflection, is this. Storms make us question the goodness of God. They absolutely do. They do. If they don't, you're probably not in a big enough storm yet. Because this fundamental question, is God good? Or, in other words, can I trust him? Is actually the foundation for everything we need to build a life following Jesus on. That is the very question. And how I know it's the question? Well, first of all, we all face it. But really, I go back to the very beginning, Adam and Eve again, the question. They trusted God and the enemy comes along and the first thing he does is cause doubt. Did God really say, you really trust him? Do you think he wants your best? Oh, he's holding out. Don't you think he's holding out on you? He's not for you. He's actually, you know, he's playing this power trip on you. If you did it this way, you'll see. This fundamental issue is actually the issue we all face in a storm, but it's actually the foundation that has to be built to continue to follow Jesus. And so I'm not surprised when we go through these times because Jesus said, when the storm comes, this is his teaching, Matthew 7, when the storm comes, those that have put my teachings not in their head, but those who have listened to me and applied it to their life build a foundation that can withstand the storms. And those that don't are like those who build on sand, and when the storm comes, the foundation is taken out and they turn away. This issue is the number one issue that causes people to turn away from Jesus. You have seen it if you've been in the church very long. I've seen it over and over again. They face something that is so overwhelming that they say to themselves, God cannot be good, therefore I'm going my own way. And this happened to Jesus over and over again. And for the disciples here in this moment, here in this storm, he had to build a foundation for them because what they were going to face was going to be worse. What he had planned for them was amazing. What he was going to do through them was incredible. And they were going to have to face storm after storm, moments after moments, when their foundation, if it wasn't on the rock, was going to take out the whole mission. They needed to learn about the foundation and what their faith was built upon. And so storms also do then, storms can teach you about God. In this moment, what they needed to know who Jesus was. They needed to know what he was capable of. And they couldn't figure that out unless they were put in a situation like this. They needed to press into him. They needed to see him for who he was. And when they saw him in that moment, it says they were terrified and amazed. They did two things there. They took their fear of the storm and they placed it on Jesus, in Jesus. And they took their faith and they placed it in Jesus. So you have fear, and sometimes I hear this, and I think it's partly true. You know, fear and faith don't go together. They're opposites, which is kind of true. But what they did was they took their fear and their faith, and they said they both belong on this man, Jesus. And so if I'm going to be afraid, I think I'm going to be afraid of this guy. And Proverbs teaches us this in Proverbs 1:7. What does it teach us? It says, the fear of our Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. A fool will despise wisdom and discipline, but the fear of the Lord, when you take what you're afraid of today and you see Jesus for who he is and you put your fear there, it becomes a foundation for knowledge, which is understanding of what life is all about. So if you're in a storm today, the question is, what are you learning? Use this storm, use this time, use this moment to learn who Jesus is. Is he the one that you will move your fear from this and put it into him? Is he worthy of that? That is the question you must answer in the storm. The next thing is, a storm can teach you a lot about yourself. What about yourself? It reveals to us that these tests, these trials, these persecutions, these rejections, these sicknesses, they show us what we hope in. They show us what we've built our life on. And you can walk, you can be in church, and you can read your Bible, and you can go through all the motions, and at the same time, be building your foundation on things that you can physically accomplish yourself. What you can attain and what you can grasp, and you can build all this foundational stuff over here. Meanwhile, you claim faith in Jesus. That can be you today. How do you find out? You find out when those very things that you hope for, long for, anticipate, plan for, start to shake, start to crack. When you experience sickness, when you experience loss, when you lose a job, when you get rejected by a loved one, when you're left alone, all of a sudden you start going, wait a minute, I thought I knew where my faith was. But I was really counting on some of these things to pay off for me. And so we can learn a lot about ourselves. Your faith in the storm, or in as fire, scripture will talk about storm and fire, your faith in these moments will either be refined or destroyed. Refined or destroyed. It's so sad when I see people's faith destroyed in these moments. I want to run to them and I want to run and say, no, you just built your faith on that you thought your faith would keep you from a storm. Sometimes we teach that. We don't even mean to. We go to someone who's in a problem, in a dire situation, and we'll say, if you turn to Jesus, he'll fix it all. And if you journey with Jesus for any length of time, you kind of know that's not really true. Faith does not keep you from the storm. Faith keeps you in the storm. It holds you in the storm. It anchors you in the storm. It builds you in the storm. It refines you in the storm in preparation for, here's the little bad tidbit probably, for the next storm. There's lots of storms in Scripture. Physical storms, that was I always spend time reading. What else should I know before I preach on this? Well, fascinating storm in Acts chapter 27. This is Paul. Now, this is after Jesus' teachings, after Jesus died on the cross, after they saw Jesus rise from the dead, and they went, oh, like, there's nothing that actually can take us out. Life doesn't end when we thought life did. They see all this, and then you have Paul. And Paul's in the middle of a storm, an actual storm, in a boat full of people. And Paul, the ship is going down for days. They're just tossed around. The sails are thrashed. They're throwing stuff overboard, hoping to keep it afloat. They're doing everything again. And Paul's running around, and he says a couple times in this passage, hey, take courage, everybody. It's going to be okay. But he actually doesn't say, it's going to be okay because nothing bad's going to happen. He goes, it's going to be okay. We're going to crash. The boat will be destroyed. Yeah, we're going to end up on an island deserted, but it's going to be okay. And the people on the boat with Paul that day, they learned what it looked like to have faith in a Lord who is in control. It's not in the absence of the storms that makes our faith attractive to people. Did you know that? It's not where God gets glory. It's our faith in the midst of the storm that gets attracted to people. We cannot live like everyone else because we follow Jesus. So what do we learn then? What we should learn in a storm, or we can learn in a storm, is this, that storms do submit to God's authority. They do submit to God's authority. What they learned, they couldn't believe what they learned there. What they learned was, if Jesus wanted to end a storm, he could. And they learned a little bit later on, if Jesus wants someone to come back from the dead, they can. If Jesus wants to rid us of evil, evil has to listen. There's not a situation that you can find yourself today where our Lord does not have ultimate authority. That is just mind-blowing, but it's part of the journey of learning to trust Jesus in your life. And so I want you to press into that in your storm, in your situation that you've been thinking about. I want you to understand that God is able to deal with that storm. And if he hasn't dealt with that storm yet, then our job is to press in to learn about him and learn about ourselves, that our faith might grow for the benefit of not just ourselves, but for others and the mission that God has for you. All storms can submit to God's authority. He is in control. So if he's in control and we believe that is true, then storms can grow your faith. They don't all grow your faith. Like I said, some people's faith crumbles. But storms can grow your faith. I wonder if Jesus, having these disciples who knew a lot of the Old Testament, memorized a lot of the Psalms. They grew up as kids in study in Jewish school and learning the Psalms. I wondered if maybe he put them in this situation to see if what they had learned had somehow made it from their head into practice. And so Psalm 107, verse 28 to 29 says this, Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. Do you ever think that God in that moment, that Jesus in that moment, wanted Scripture for them to come alive. You guys read about this. You guys have heard about this. You guys have memorized this. But I need it to move from up here, and I need it to move to become reality in your life. You cry out for help in your storm, I can answer. It's not a theory. It's not a principle. It's not something neat to encourage us on paper. It's living truth that we can embrace today. The question is, in your storm, are you allowing it to refine your faith? Are you willing to humble yourself and cry out help? Cry out help. I know a lot of times we get ourselves in situations and storms, or we're heading towards a storm and other people can see it around us. Sometimes we don't see it until it's too late, but others can see it. But it's very hard to cry out for help. And I don't think we're meant to go through. I love what Jordan says. He talked about being a part of community and being a part of, I mean, you need people to go through a storm. And they can help us actually avoid storms, because a lot of storms, to be honest, we make. We make by just decisions and choices and paths that we go down that maybe we convince ourselves are going to be okay. But the people, if they were around us, the people who are watching our life, if we invited them to speak into our life, would be able to say, hey, that's not a good place to go. So part of our journey, again, is bringing truth tellers into our life to allow them to speak, that in the storm we will grow in our faith because other people can encourage us and build into us. Well, I want to end with a couple of questions that are actually right in the text. And if we don't answer these questions in the text, if we don't wrestle with them, then I don't know if we spent good time today. The first question that is the one that Jesus asked of the disciples that I find a little bit stingy. Where is your faith? I used to hear it really stingy, almost cruel, that God would ask such a thing when he puts us in these situations. But I don't hear it that way. I hear it more now as him coming alongside of us in the storm, whispering, so where is your faith right now? Is it moved? Is it moving? Is it shaping? Is it resting? Is it relying on me? Is your faith still in the boat? Where is it right now? Where is your faith right now? Is your faith towards me right now? Is it one more try at this or one more try at that or one more go at this? Is it one more treatment? Is it one more? Where is your faith right now? Where is it? I want to refine it. I want to bring it to focus. I want it to come to me. Where is your faith right now? In the storm that you're going through, if you're going through one, I need you to write that down. And I want you to hear Jesus pulling up beside you a chair today at some point saying, tell me about your faith. And I want you to know, I don't think it's a bad thing to say, I'm afraid. He says, okay, if you're afraid, then Psalm 107, what the disciples learned was call out for help. There's a whole difference. There's a whole difference right now. I want you to understand, I'm being afraid or living in fear. You're going to be afraid. Storms actually purposely, I believe, stir it up. Life circumstances are going to bring it to the surface. Then you have a decision to make at that point. Am I going to live into this fear? Am I going to allow this fear to be a bedrock, the foundation for the way I make decisions? And the thing about, I'll just say it, for COVID, the irony for me is the audacity of either side to look at the other side and say, they're living in fear. Either side can be making decisions in their fear. The question is, are you at peace? despite the storm, the goal that Jesus has for us is to learn to get to the storm, to be in a storm, and to have peace. That's actually what he has for us. That's why he was at rest in the storm. He knew the storm was coming, but he was at rest. He wants you to join him in that so you can learn about yourself, so you can learn about him, so you can build your faith, so you can trust him. I have a verse I want to give you. I need you to understand that when Jesus was going to leave his disciples and they'd been through all these storms and all this testing and all these trials, he said, I'm going to leave you with something. I want to give you a gift so you can do life well. This is the gift. He literally says this, John 14:27. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. In other words, you've seen me, you guys. You've seen me in the storm. You've seen me when people try to throw me over cliffs. You've seen me when people talk bad about me. You've seen me get nailed to a cross. You've seen me die and be buried. And you've seen me with peace of mind and heart through it all. What if Jesus would give us the ability to go through all of that with peace in our hearts and mind? He has. He has. The gift comes in this passage in John 14, if you want to read it later, by the promise that God would send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that he carried with him, the way he went through all of this, that he would send that Spirit and make it available for all who would follow him. The gift of the Holy Spirit would bring you this. And he says, look, and the peace that I give you, this gift that I give you, you cannot find it in the world. You won't find it out there. You won't find it in this solution or this relationship or this financial situation. You won't find it there. You will find it from me. It's a gift so that you won't be troubled or afraid anymore. That gift is available today. You have to cry out, help. You have to give up. You have to come to the point where you're like, I cannot build my own life anymore. It's not working out. I can't control it. I can't solve it. I can't fix it. I can't build a foundation that can carry me through anything. You live long enough, you figure this out. You can cry out help, and he'll give you this gift. So where is your faith today? The next question that everyone will have to answer one day, and my hope and prayer is you'll answer it today, is who is this man, Jesus? If he truly is who he says he is, if he truly can get you through everything in this world, if he can raise the dead to life, if he can calm the storms, if he can remove evil, who can he be in your life? He can be Lord and Savior. And so all of these in Luke 8, they're going through these dramatic things. And so the question is asked in Luke 9, and it's asked to his disciples, and it's asked to you today. And Jesus finally goes up to them and says, so you've been through a lot in the last couple of days, you guys. So I got a question for you. Who do you say I am? It's a defining question. Not up here, but in here. Peter replies, well, I've been following you around for a while. We've been through a lot of storms and some stuff, and I've been watching. You're the Messiah, the Savior, my rescuer. Messiah, rescuer, same root word. You're the one who saves me. Is that your answer today? Who is Jesus? If he is the one who can save, if he is the one who can rescue you then today, then take your fear and take your faith and put them on Jesus.